This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We record in the offices of Raider Solutions in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider's team lets you focus on your business while they take care of the technology. If you're wondering if Raider can help your business with any and all technology needs, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd like to thank Iberia Bank for its support of this podcast. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered right here in Lafayette, with 329 combined locations throughout the South. They offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Visit iberiabank.com for more information. We're also grateful for the support of Lafayette General Health. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit, community-owned regional health system, Lafayette General is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Mike Dozier, Lafayette General Health's Chief Information Officer, is our guest today. Under Mike's leadership, Lafayette General has become a leader in technology in Louisiana and has enacted innovative strategies and organizational alignment through the use of IT. And practically speaking, for us patients, telemedicine can keep our healthcare costs down, make access to healthcare providers easier to schedule, and keep us out of the emergency room by using proactive healthcare measures to maintain our health. So Mike Dozier, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I've been looking forward to this. We met a couple years ago through Upper Lafayette, and you were kind enough to put on a presentation then about the emerging things going on in telemedicine. So I thought this would be great to let you have more time to discuss not only what's happened, but future things we can look forward to. So before we start that, would you give us just a brief background where you grew up and how you got here?
Absolutely. So, you know, like our president, I'm actually from Indiana. I'm a Hoosier, different from parts of the state, but did move around throughout my healthcare career. Mm-hmm. But born and raised in healthcare. My whole family's in healthcare, nurses, physicians, CEO of a hospital as well. And so I was born to be in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So decided to be in IT, went to Purdue for 4 years from my bachelor's and master's of business at Indiana Wesleyan, and then decided to start going across the country, doing some different things with different organizations between California, Missouri, Louisiana, and Indiana. And so I've finally parked here, married someone from Baton Rouge, and haven't left.
Wow. So you moved here, or you joined Lafayette General in 2014.
Yes. So. Been here 5 years now.
Yeah.
And so it's been a good 5 years, and hoping for several more years.
Well, just in the time since I've been a patient at Lafayette General and some of the doctors, and since your presentation, I've really come to appreciate the benefits of what you call telemedicine. So if we can start out, Mike, for people that may not know exactly what we're talking about, how do you define telemedicine?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different telemedicine uses and cases and how people define it. I think for us, it's opening access to care that you haven't had otherwise for a number of different situations, whether it's minor urgent care from home, whether it's in the hospital needing access to specialists on demand. And then, you know, furthering that to school systems and, you know, any other place that you want to be. But telemedicine for us, we want it to be anywhere and everywhere that a patient needs access, regardless of location.
Right. So as an example, back at the meeting I referenced, we had a doctor hooked up from the Karen Crow Lafayette General Urgent Care Center. And you guys had me as the guinea pig, and he was able to examine me, you know, digitally. I mean, you had a nurse there, of course, and somebody was putting a stethoscope, checking vitals and checking my ear and my throat and all. But I could have never envisioned this just a few years ago. Is this kind of what you're talking about, making healthcare delivery easier?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people don't realize how long telemedicine has really been around. Mm-hmm. It's been around for decades.
How so?
You know, people using different carts and different utilization of medical tools to see people remotely, that has been a long time thing, especially in ICUs and for medical care in those regards. using just video cameras for that matter, mm-hmm. To see a patient and diagnose them with stroke. That's been around for about 10 years now. And we've been doing a lot of these different things. Now we're starting to introduce it directly to the patients mm-hmm. after a lot of education has been done around the country, different perspectives of what patients think about it and mm-hmm. how we add that to the whole care experience that Lafayette General is all about.
Right, right. So you're saying in the past it would be the telemedicine would be on-site but higher-end care. Yep. And so this is a newer thing where patients just like me and you, we could be examined if we don't feel like getting to the doctor's office.
Right.
We can just stay home once we're a patient and in the system instead yep. of having to drive ourselves sick and sit around a bunch of sick people. We right. can stay home.
Yep. I think with the technology that we have in our hands and our households now have increased so dramatically from the case usage that we were 10 years ago even. You know, the cameras on the phones are even better than what right. we have in most of our cameras now. So,
right.
you know, I think that has, along with the technology that people are just used to now and mm-hmm. expect, mm-hmm. it's now becoming a way of life to receive care from right. wherever you are, whether it's home or on the road or on vacation, mm-hmm. people expect to be able to get that same level of care.
I know with my Apple Watch, I have one, not that there are advertisers here, but so many of us wear Fitbits or Apple Watches. And I didn't realize I could be taking some of my vitals on this. I use it to count my steps. But when you spoke 2 years ago, I remember there was a part of the presentation, were very low-cost devices. I think you mentioned like an EKG there. Can you talk yep. about that some of the things people can be using to monitor their health, to help their physicians?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Fitbit's a great example of people just recognizing what their health looks like first. Mm-hmm. You know, educating yourself and being more self-aware of what your health is actually doing, what your body is capable of doing, mm-hmm. You know, has helped, and that's what those devices have helped, start to pave a way of people being more in tune with their own healthcare. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into those devices, you know, even 2-3 years ago where, you know, $100 devices from Best Buy and some of these other stores are helping, you know, patients take care of an EKG at home.
That's amazing.
You know, take your blood pressure from home and send that remotely to your mm-hmm. physician. Just a number of different things that you can do. And now telemedicine being added so that you can have video-to-video face visits. Some of the tools out there that both Lafayette General and, you know, are available to the public are going to be pushing out to patients, allowing you to see inside your ear, your throat, mm-hmm. you know, all from the comfort of your home and your couch.
So all the information that's gathered, I want to get into that end too, about the benefits of what you're offering the public. Every doctor's visit, or if you end up in an emergency room in one of the Lafayette General hospitals across Southwest Louisiana, all of this is kept in one, I would call, a pile of data.
Right.
But you're the person responsible for managing this whole system.
Yes.
Yeah, would you talk about that? Because I know we were talking before the interview about where the data's stored. Because I'm
right.
a paper person. I'm so used to having paper to document things, and that's just not the way it's done.
No, not anymore. We've fully gone to electronic paper charting or electronic charting mm-hmm. to get rid of paper and make it more efficient for everybody that cares for you. And I think, you know, that's a big differentiator. What we do in this community is having everything single stored in one place. So whether you go to your physician office or you go to the ED or whether you have a telemedicine visit, we know what has happened to you in the past. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference. What medications you are on, what has happened to you from a problem or a surgery standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a huge, huge
right.
concern, especially when you're seeing 3 to 5 physicians for, you know, chronic care conditions that you might mm-hmm. be trying to manage yourself.
And all the medications, everything that patient interacts with, you
right.
can have that. Yeah, just by turning on the computer.
Yep.
I know my husband went recently. He had some kind of sinus problem and went to the urgent care in River Ranch. And he walked in, and I mean, there was really no check-in.
No.
I told him, I said, look online, you know, see what the waits are. And he went there. He was in the system. And it was really a very pleasant,
right.
quick experience. So
yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we're
well.
Trying to change and remove that friction. Because I think, you know, you go across the Acadiana, you know, different physician offices have different, you know, technology mm-hmm. across. depending on who you use, a patient may have, you know, one cardiologist here, go to an endocrinologist here, and every experience
every time you go,
is different.
It's new paperwork.
You got to tell them the same things over and over and over. And that to us is friction for a patient that we're trying to eliminate to make patient care a better experience and, and make it easier for patients to get access.
Yeah, I read that. I think there was an example of if you have a 15-minute office visit, it can really take up probably at a minimum 4 hours of your time if you go the regular way, where you go sit, fill out papers, wait, go to the back, wait, you know, see the nurse, wait. And so a lot of this has been geared up, and I've experienced it, where it's just, it's super fast, super easy, and the doctors are ready to go when they see you.
So it's across the whole industry, not just in Acadiana, this is a big problem, you know, eliminating wait out of our health system. And you know, we've designed our places around, you know, our own operations, not around the patient, and now we're changing that for you know, all of our patients to experience something different at the end of the day. You know, being able to schedule your appointment and get in on the same day, same time, you know, get on an 8 a.m. appointment, make sure you are seeing a physician by 8 a.m., not waiting till 8:30.
Right.
You know, all these things add up where people are taking off of work, they're taking, you know, vacation time that might be needed somewhere else, or they're not getting paid at all to see a physician that, you know, for 15 minutes might take you 4 hours off your workday. It's an extremely disappointing thing for healthcare that we're trying to change.
Right. I just pulled up Lafayette General's app. I downloaded that on my phone, and I know I've used it before. Just like I said, we used it that Sunday that John was going to the doctor to see where was the best place, how many minutes wait would it be. But it, I've also used it, like, you can see where are people sick. Like, if it's flu season, you can kind of look at the map and see, you know, this is a cluster of sick people. You may not want to go there, or you know, there's all kinds of things. Would you talk about this? Was this your department?
It was. We sat down internally and designed, you know, what would be useful for a patient 2 years ago. And it's been very successful. In fact, we're the only health system in the state that actually has a mobile app to do these types of things. And so we wanted to bring everything together in one place. Obviously, patients wanting to use their smart devices as much as they can. And so we entered that space for the patient. Now you can check your wait times in our emergency department. You can skip the wait for our urgent cares and our labs. So if you need to go to the urgent care, if you go on our app or our website, hit skip the wait, you can check in online. And the big reason for that is we don't want you sitting in a waiting room, waiting in front of everybody else that has flu or cold symptoms. They're coughing all over you. We want you to wait in the place that's best for you. And when you're ready, when we're ready to see you, or when you have, you know, closer to your appointment, we want to get you right back to the exam room so that there is no waiting room in the game anymore. We want to make sure that you get in and get out and get back to your normal life.
Right. And you can see your records also, like if you've had tests done, right? You can check in and, and get the results.
You can use our My Health patient portal to get your results. And in the future, actually near future, you'll be able to find a doc, which is a big problem in Acadiana. Trying to find a doctor that takes your insurance, that has availability, that's close to you, that, you know, works for you, whether it's a male or female physician that you're looking for, or someone just close to your home that has capabilities of taking care of you for illnesses that you're looking for. So whether it's diabetic, you know, there's certain people that have better skills at diabetes management. And so we're going to make that available to patients to directly schedule into our appointments books and see a physician or at least find a physician quicker than what we can today.
Yeah, so you can pay your bills online. There's just so many things. So if anybody's interested, I went to my app store and just typed in Lafayette General, and there it was. So would you talk some about how are the medical records shared? Like, how does this work, Mike? I know you've got quite a team working with you to maintain the data and also make it accessible. Where is all that done?
Yeah, we have a large team of IT professionals in our organization that are dedicated to doing these types of things and making sure our data is secure, making sure that it's available to our physicians and providers, almost 100% of the time. And so we spend 24/7 hour shifts, and it's a nonstop job now that healthcare is more reliant on IT. Mm-hmm. And we do have a single source of record, medical record, with our Cerner EMR platform. A lot of that is not stored here. It is stored in Kansas City and in different parts of the country to get away from the big disaster problems mm-hmm. that we're prone to.
Is that a good place to be, Kansas City?
It is. It is. Bunkered down in a hill out there. Yeah, there's definitely not much, uh-huh. that can hit them from a natural disaster standpoint. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the most secure places in the country from that standpoint.
Oh, wow.
From a data security standpoint, we don't want data to be necessarily here, because most organizations are targeted at their front door mm-hmm. And don't realize that the data is not necessarily sitting in the same place as the patient is, and that's a good thing.
Right.
So we have watch our security very highly and make sure confidential mm-hmm. patient records stay confidential and secure from a patient standpoint.
Right. You guys seem to use that term redundancy, and I think of it as one way, but that's something I guess is really important to protect all this data. Right?
Yeah, because everything is so electronic now, mm-hmm. it is important that we don't have any downtime for our health system. And so, we have redundancy in our network, we have redundancy in our software applications, and the last thing that we want is have patients in our hospital and lose our system data and don't know what's happening to them at that time.
Right.
That's a very scary and potential problem that we try to prepare for.
Right. So what are you looking forward to, in the future? You've mentioned to me privately things such as artificial intelligence, let's say. What in the world are you talking about there? What can we look forward to in healthcare?
Yeah, artificial intelligence is going to be a big thing for us. We're piloting and really pioneering the way for that. Right now, we are working with our radiology vendor, Cerner, to be one of the first in the nation to be able to help radiologists detect breast cancer and lung cancer immediately following your imaging study that you have done. Oh. So, radiologists are great. Our radiologists are great, but there is mistakes that can be made, and we want to use intelligent mm-hmm. software to actually help assist them and clearing up any mistakes in the future and making it as near 100% as possible all the time and quicker. Today, it can take 30-45 minutes for a study to be read. With artificial intelligence, it could be 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
And so you could have your results before you even leave. And that's something we want to, move to in the future.
From a comfort level for the patient.
Right. I mean, sometimes it's 2 to 4 days before you hear anything.
And
so
if you're scared about cancer or something, the wait's just as bad probably as the prognosis. Not knowing.
Yep.
And then the other types of things that can be done, like when people are in the hospital, you hear about a lot of people getting septic or things happen. Could you talk about that? Like, what other ways can this artificial intelligence work to or be able to work? I know it's a future.
Sepsis we're actually doing today. We're doing artificial intelligence with sepsis today. And at the end of the day, this is one of the things hospitals worry more about mm-hmm. is people getting sick from hospital-acquired diseases, sepsis being one of them. And
especially with pneumonia and diseases.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that,
if sepsis gets strong enough or gets worse enough that your life is at risk, and so for us, we want to catch that as quickly as possible. Because we're a single integrated EMR and all that data is working together, mm-hmm. we're using intelligence to go find the key pieces that might point us to a potential sepsis case. And so we've actually saved about 130 different lives ahead of where they would have been worse off with septicemia and stuff like that. So
the monitor is on the patient and it just detects changes.
It's not even a monitor. It's looking at vital signs that might be worsening. It might be labs that are starting to increase and things that we don't want. Mm-hmm. And it constantly uses nursing documentation to actually look for mm-hmm. potential. It doesn't replace a nurse, doesn't replace a right. physician at the end of the day, but it helps them identify patients quicker that otherwise would have been in a worsening state.
Mm-hmm. I've lost a few friends that had pneumonia,
yep.
and they were relatively young, and all were healthy before they got pneumonia, and it was just shocking to lose them.
Yep.
But it wasn't to the pneumonia, it was to sepsis.
Yep.
It wasn't at Lafayette General, though. It was, you
know, right. That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't here, but it just shocked me that somebody could succumb to that. And so it's good news
yep.
to hear that. So, Mike, I'd like to take a moment to thank the Advocate here. They do a lot to support Discover Lafayette. They release information about our podcast twice a week. So I'd like to thank Judy Terzotas, Adam Daigle, and the team at the Advocate for promoting Discover Lafayette. So thank you for letting me get that word in.
Yes.
How does telemedicine save money? It seems like with healthcare costs rising, and we've had David Callicott here, as you know, and he's talked about y'all want to be treating people that are vertical. You
yep.
want to help people while they're healthy so
right.
they don't end up being carted in the hospital in a horizontal manner. And it's kind of funny talking about it, but when it's you, it's serious.
Right.
You know, when we get sick, we think it's very serious. How are these changes helping the consumer?
Yeah. So a number of ways. You know, at the end of the day, you know, what we do with Health Anywhere, for example, you know, we have our own mobile app that you can see a physician 24/7. Go online with your mobile device and, you know, put your insurance in and, you know, pay the $11, $12, whatever your copay ends up being. You know, if in the, you know, previous history of healthcare, you know, the best option for people after hours is go to the ED. After mm-hmm. 8 o'clock, you can't find someone that can take care of you except emergency department, where you're going to pay $600, $1,000, whatever we run up on from a testing standpoint, mm-hmm. And what you're coming in for. That now is, you know, at least moving in the direction of a consumer-centric approach to, you know, pay $11, $45, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. your copay is at the end of the day versus $600 at the end of the day. And so there is a savings, not that it replaces all of healthcare and replaces mm-hmm. all those types of things, but minor urgent care conditions are definitely a savings to the patient. Even going to an urgent care, most mm-hmm. people are going to pay $75 to $100 out of pocket versus $11 to $45 by seeing a physician. Having them call in a prescription if they feel like you're needing an antibiotic or something to take care of you or to get you by till you can get into a PCP office 2 to 3, 4 days later,
right.
Especially after the weekends.
Right.
So there's definitely you know, savings where, you know, for the consumer at the end of the day, that it's providing another access to care that never was available. And is actually proving out for us as well in our own health system and our employee health plan. You know, where we're seeing 600 plus visits now across this year that have saved us tremendous ED visits that otherwise would have been, and saving us thousands and thousands of dollars
right.
To both the businesses and the employee.
Right. I know there's something called disruptors in yeah. healthcare, and I like this concept that we've been discussing, that if I go to one doctor, and then if I see somebody else in the system, they just have access to everything, because it just saves a lot of time and it probably helps me stay healthier.
Yep.
But I know you've got competitors like CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, you know, people walking in, I guess, getting shots, getting looked at. I don't know. I've never gone to one for that. But
right.
can you talk about that? I mean, is this a big competition now
it
nationally?
It is. And I think it's a good competition at the end of the day. You know, there's definitely things in every industry where you have to step back and go, should we be doing something mm-hmm. different? And it's made us think differently as well. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart even. I mean, everybody has decided that healthcare is the evil giant, and they're going to make sure that they continue to decrease costs for patients and approach consumers in a different way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's some game in that as well. They want to get you to their store. They want to, mm-hmm. you know, hook you as a patient. They have downstream revenue just like everybody else, medications and, mm-hmm. you know, things that you buy in Walgreens in the store. Just by coming in to get a medication, mm-hmm. you're going to come out with, you know, different things every day. And so I think, you know, their concepts to put health stores and health clinics in these stores is you know, definitely going to be a competing priority for us in the future, and competing over who has that vertical patient at the end of the day.
Right.
And, you know, the vertical patient, as David Callicott had mentioned before, mm-hmm. is the patient that has choice. And, you know, the patient that has choice is the one that, you know, you want to establish a relationship with at the mm-hmm. end of the day, and hope they choose you for, you know, a number of things that you're doing for healthcare. I think where CVS, healthcare, you know, Walmart, what they don't have is all the downstream things. They can definitely see you from a minor urgent care condition mm-hmm. like we can. But when it comes to seeing a specialist or getting you referred back into the system to find something that you're you know, might be having, diabetes, chronic conditions, those types of things, I think that's where, you know, the competition is still weak and we
They're
still
convenient.
Have.
Yeah. I mean, that's convenient. I can see doing that. Then you can just get your medication while you're there.
Right.
But not if you've broken your arm or, you know, have a serious illness that you're not sure you want to just walk into Walmart to to get help.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Walmart. We like Walmart. So
yeah, there's definitely, you know, some niche things that they'll mm-hmm. be able to do. But at the end of the day, we want to have that relationship mm-hmm. with the patient, not in a store, not in a four walls. We want to start it at the home, and that's where I think we, you know, are ahead of the curve from that standpoint, being able to bring telemedicine straight to the home, you know, in the future, hopefully delivering meds straight to your home as well. So
you
don't
even,
you
want to talk about that? Like, what are y'all thinking for the future of that? Is that going to be like an Uber type of
It will be.
Delivery?
It, you know, it'll be, you know, like Waiter, Uber, it'll be, you know, instead of delivering your foods, it'll be delivery of meds. And, you know, I think everybody's going to be getting into that. Amazon as well, with their acquisition of PillPack, and, you know, being able to deliver meds to your home within a few hours. I mm-hmm. think that's the goal of and who's going to win the game at the end of the day.
Right. I get things delivered at home. I order, there's, you know, my medication was so expensive, just female stuff, you know, that I found out I could order it and it's delivered. But it's good and bad, because if it gets left outside, it's kind of dicey. So
it
I still like picking up things. But that's probably old school, you know.
It is.
I just have to learn to get with it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, it, you know, a lot of people are doing delivery mm-hmm. of meds anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cheaper for
it's
people
cheaper.
To do home delivery of meds mm-hmm. versus going to the store. They don't have a lot of overhead. They don't have a lot of things mm-hmm. to, you know, worry about other than a delivery service. And so
They don't advertise. Most of these places are just strict.
Right.
You know, make the meds, get them out. But,
right. So I think, you know, Amazon and others are going to play a big role in, you know, even disrupting CVS and Walgreens and Walmart. So, you know, it should be interesting to see over the next 5 years really what happens with healthcare and, mm-hmm. you know, how on demand and how immediate it becomes straight to your home.
Right. Have I asked you what you wanted to be asked on telemedicine? Because I know we want to talk about corporate wellness too, but have I hit on the high points?
I think so. I think the big things for us is we're taking more to the home, and I think you're going to see in the future us mm-hmm. be able to do ear exams, throat exams and those types of things right from your comfort of your own couch mm-hmm. With the same accuracy than being in the clinic at the end of the day at 24/7 as well. So, you know, this is a game changer for Acadiana and a game changer for Lafayette General as well.
And this would be for all ages, Mike, right? I did want to get that in. Like children, you could...
Anybody three and older.
3 years.
Yeah, anybody under three, it's harder to do these types of exams and mm-hmm. Understand what the real issues are. Anybody over three can usually start to figure out what's really going on with them. So
yeah, that's a game changer for parents that don't want to get their kids out. So, Mike, we're here. We're joined by Heather Harris, Business Development Officer with Lafayette General Health. Heather, welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
I wanted to just have a few minutes with you to talk about some other initiatives that y'all are doing to reach out to corporations. I know that you're in school systems and all, but you're particularly looking at helping businesses both keep down their cost and help their employees stay healthy. So would you talk some about that?
Sure, absolutely. So as you said, a business development for corporate health, and my goal is to keep employees healthy. We call on employers, and what we like to say is we like the three C's: convenience, consistency, and continuum of care. The convenience of with our biometric team, they're very passionate about what they do. We realize calling on these employers that not a lot of people are focused on healthcare or going to the doctor. We like to come, you know, do the finger stick, be able to do body mass, blood pressure. Everything is within 5 to 7 minutes. They get their results printed out to them. And it's basically, you know, we're preventative. We find if people have high blood pressures, or we can set up general practitioner appointments for people who do not have GPs. And from there, you know, with statistics of an employer, we can say, oh, wow, this many people have high blood pressure. We can do pre-hypertensive talk. We can do...
offer yoga.
Offer yoga. Absolutely. I'm all about that. But, you know, it's honestly, when calling on these employers, that's really the main thing. They want convenience. They want consistency. Every, you know, same place, same time when we, you know, go and do these screenings. And another thing is the continuum of care. Once they're, you know, with Lafayette General, whether it's, you know, I go out promote our Lafayette General app, and that's whether it's skip the wait, you know, ER wait times, whatnot, we let them know that once you go visit an urgent care, you're in the system.
Right.
And that leads into our Health Anywhere with, you know, telling employers, hey, look, you know, now we can, our payers, Blue Cross Blue Shield, so companies that have that, we can say, we will put your company name on there. You don't have to worry about going in urgent care or the ER if you have a sore throat. Or, and again, and even some of their employees that do not have insurance, it's a $45 fee, as like what Mike said, as
if opposed, the company signs up.
Right. Uh-huh. If they don't have their any insurance, mm-hmm. we can say it's $45 instead of going to urgent care ER for something that can, you know, be diagnosed over the phone. And another big component that we like to tell employers, it's a local aspect. You know, they're not going to be talking to a doctor out in another state. It's a local feel good, you know, not only keeping their employees healthy, but just knowing that we have the utmost patient care at Lafayette General. It's a culture there, and we like to tell employers that. So that's, you know, that's what I do.
How do people sign up, or what's involved?
So if an employer is interested in wanting us to come and do a biometric, they'll do a proposal. So my corporate team will come out and, you know, kind of look at the space and we'll get a signed contract and we'll go from there. It's really a simple, very seamless process in doing that. And on top of that, we also promote our executive health physical program to executives that want to come get an extensive 3 to 4 hour physical for their employees.
Right.
We're in the process down the road of going to be kind of revamping that a little bit. But yeah, it's very, very easy for us to come and do those screenings for employees.
Are they typically the really large companies that you're looking at? This isn't like a 5 to 10 person small office, right? You're looking
at
larger
employers. We like to gauge 50 or more employees or who we really like to go and test. Now, for some of our smaller employees, we are partnered. We have Wellness Works. And so we can, I mean, that component of it is we can go out to any employer and help them, you know, whether it's health and safety talks, complementary blood pressures, you know, setting them up, like I said, with general practitioners. But our main focus for our biometrics is usually 50 and above.
I became aware of some of these initiatives, I guess it was about 10 years ago. Stone Energy had a big push for employee health. And, you know, David Welch was the vegan and he got rah-rah. They had a guy on staff that got everybody to want to exercise and this and that. And I thought, what are they doing? Because it looked like fun, but I didn't really get it. And he's like, no, we're saving like $1 million to $2 million a year because people were getting healthier.
Absolutely.
They weren't missing work. I mean, all these things, it's like a domino effect. The little effort you put in, it yielded great premiums.
Absolutely.
And that was really the first I realized that big companies did that. And then I saw later Acadian Ambulance had somebody like that. So this is just for you go in and you help them do what the really large companies have the capacity to
do. We've been able to, you know, like we said, detect simple things like high blood pressure, diets. And again, our team is very passionate about what they do. And it's a local, I mean, a lot of people, what we try to say is we're local. We're a hospital that can do it all. So not only are we coming to test you for these screenings, but I mean, if you have something major. We can right. take, you know, it's the full, you know, continuity of care within mm-hmm. general.
I'm curious, I don't know if y'all have this information, but, you know, women typically go to the doctor every year because we're kind of more in tune with checking out things, but do some people just not go to the doctor?
Absolutely.
Is that who you're catching? Like the guy in the corner that's 45 yes. and he doesn't really feel bad, so what's the problem? You know, is that what you're
absolutely
finding and, you can
and,
help?
And these programs that we have for businesses are really about finding those people that have never sought a primary care because they think they're healthy or they've not, you know, shown symptoms or the yeah. normal symptoms. And, you know, we find the proactive things. What employers, you know, don't want is to wait till that person becomes, you know, an ER patient and has a heart attack and, you know, needs surgery and all those types of things. You know, yeah. those are very expensive to the medical insurance mm-hmm. industry. And so the more we can get in front for, you know, identifying high blood pressures and getting them hooked mm-hmm. up with a cardiologist or a PCP yeah. or whoever it might be, to maintain,
to maintain
a better lifestyle uh-huh. or get you on meds that, you know, otherwise you wouldn't to start to bring down those severe mm-hmm. risk. And so we find those things and our teams find those things that that otherwise wouldn't be.
Right.
And because of it, similar to Lafayette General Health, we have 4,500 employees now. We've seen our medical insurance premiums go down every single year
because
or
of
stay the same.
Proactive measures.
Right? And in, a, uh-huh. in an industry, you know, like ours, where you're seeing, you know, more and more of the medical insurance go up for employees and go up every single year, and more of it's going to the person's take-home pay, you know, that is what we're trying to bend the cost curve and actually reduce that or at least mm-hmm. keep it the same so that people can catch up to what's really being cost from a household standpoint.
And keep those patients vertical.
Yes, we want to keep those patients vertical as much as possible.
Absolutely.
We have another vertical patient in here with us. We have Jason.
I am still vertical,
Sikora.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
And Jason, may I mention your proactive means to, or would you like to mention it?
Yeah. Well, do you want me to talk about the tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay. So years ago, living in California, after hearing about Rita and patients not getting proper care because they couldn't be identified, I have a tattoo that has my name, where I was born, my birth date, and my blood type. So in case I'm out of it and I go to the emergency mm-hmm. room and I can't be identified, at least a doctor can figure out who I am and give me proper care.
This is the professional team we have working here.
Yes.
We need they to do put a very good job.
We need to put something in the chart to make sure we look at, yeah. pull up your shirt and take a look at the tattoo
exactly.
first.
And everybody in this office at our pool party has asked me, why do you have that? And I just thought it was a very simple, cheap solution to something that I might need, hopefully never have
but
to use
the
it.
But even the blood, I don't even know what my blood type is. I know I should know that. I don't know what it is. I mean, now you know what your blood type is. It's right
well,
on
well,
your
so there's,
stomach.
There's a family history of having some blood problems. So I always knew what my blood type, I'm O positive. Not that anybody needs to know that.
So thank you for sharing that. I just thought it was humorous.
That'll be the next thing that I go and sell employers is
yeah.
that we have a local
little
tattoo artist that's coming in with
yeah.
us. They can, you know,
well,
$5.
Why not Why not
yeah.
have, yeah, your information
yeah.
on you? It makes it so much easier.
Just icing on the cake. Yeah.
So a couple things. First of all, thank you guys for being here. And Jan, I think you hit on so many questions that I had that you guys answered so greatly. So thank you. A couple comments. First of all, your urgent care is awesome.
Yeah.
On Memorial Day, we had to go to Youngsville to urgent care just to get looked at, and you guys were like the only ones open, and it was super fast, and everybody was super nice. So
great.
Thank you for providing that.
Thank you. Claudine does a great job.
The other thing that you guys kind of hit on too that I want to really emphasize is, so I'm in my 40s, my wife is in her 40s, and we're really focused now on healthcare, but we should have started this 15, 20 years ago. And there's still so many people who don't focus on it until they're in their 30s or 40s or 50s. So you guys make it so easy, and it's not difficult to do. So I encourage everybody out there to just go see a PCP once a year and start monitoring yourself. And speaking of monitoring yourself, my first question had to do with wearables.
Sure.
So you mentioned it's great for, like, I love my Fitbit, and I look at my sleeping and my steps every single day. But how is this going to change what what doctors can see and do, and then also how is this going to change what insurance companies are doing with this information?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, it's a kind of a double-edged sword right now. There is so much data out there, and it's so siloed and so different across each person with different types of wearables. It becomes a burden for your physician to see and you know, go through all this different data. Mm-hmm. Not all of it has been FDA certified, and so it's hard to make clinical decisions just based off wearables. But it does give us insight as to how your body changes and how you, portray yourself and what your perception of yourself is. And that helps us mm-hmm. decide how to take care of you as well. And so we are taking in wearables and certain types of things. We use a company called Livongo right now to just do diabetic management. And that actually feeds into the Cerner EMR and alerts the physician to higher A1C levels than we need to. Or blood glucose levels. And so, it alerts us and allows us to interact with those patients almost real time.
Is it like a...
It's a finger stick. Uh-huh. And then just, it does one drop of blood, looks at your entire blood glucose levels, and then immediately sends those results in. Oh. We have the results in about 30 seconds.
Wow.
And so within 30 seconds to a minute, if mm-hmm. those results are high, someone's calling you from the company and trying to work with you to make mm-hmm. sure you're okay, you're not fainting, we don't need to get you to the ED, we don't need to call you medical service, asking you questions about your diet, what'd you eat that might have caused this? And so it's a little bit of give and take educational-wise for us, plus understanding a little bit better about who needs more care or who needs more guidance to take care of their own self.
And so all the information, though, like, can this be used? Were you asking, can this be used against you?
And that was, I mean, there's been a few reports out there where Fitbit is now working with insurance companies sure. to change premiums based on whether or not you're getting your steps in or sleeping well or
right.
Doing all this. So is that something that we need to be scared about, or do we think that it's going to all regulate?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about it. At the end of the day, the consumer has the choice whether to share their data with it or not, or with the insurance. That is a mandate across the country, so you have to consent to being able to share your data anyways. And vice versa, it's on the hospital side as well, whether we can share data as well.
Okay.
And so, whether the insurances use it against you in the future, I don't know that, the current regulations will allow them to use it against you. I can't say what changes with healthcare, because it changes every single day. But definitely every organization that insures you is definitely going to want to make sure that they keep you as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way mm-hmm. in using your data, but in a positive guidance way, similar to what we would do from a care management standpoint.
Well, and I think having a wearable, if you bought one, you're already looking at that and trying to yeah. do better for yourself.
Right.
So that's the whole point of it. Okay, so we're talking tech, telemedicine, HIPAA, data. What's your biggest struggle when it comes to technology between patients and doctors? Is it regulations? Is it ISP speeds? Is it just teaching patients on how to utilize all of this? Like, what's your biggest block?
Yeah, all of it, all of the above.
D.
But is there D? So,
that's fair.
I think our biggest issue is going to be about educating patients. It's still new. Technology is new to healthcare, and healthcare is private. People don't want to share information about, how bad off they are mm-hmm. or what illnesses they're going through. So people want to keep that as secure and as close to their chest as possible. And so, even sharing everything with the physician becomes a problem, especially when you're, using your phone to discuss illness with them, or, even giving the full picture as to what's happening. And some people forget to say something to your physician until later, and then they don't follow back up with that. I think, educating patients on telemedicine use, how technology is impacting your health and how it can improve your health. You're going to find things like genetics is still new. 23andMe, Ancestry.com.
Isn't that something?
They can tell you a lot about your health without, ever seeing you. And so, I think you know, that's still early on in the stages. I think the latest numbers were 10% of the nation has ever done something like that. And so
I'm afraid to.
Yeah, it's I've done it. It's,
you have?
It's amazing what data you can get out of it. And I think we're going to get into that business as well and start to show people and educate them.
Yeah.
What
maybe
does
I'll
your genetics
do, then,
do?
If you guys do, we'll do.
All right, Jan Swift will be number one.
I'm just afraid what I'd find out. Are my parents really my parents? You know,
yeah.
We did all look alike.
That is absolutely true. I think that's where it started.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, being able to tell people whether Advil works for you or not. Or,
really?
You know, what you can eat to actually stay healthy. You know, which
from
carbs.
From genetic test?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So
it's insane.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking into it now.
Yes.
So a lot of this telemedicine still has to do with phones and tablets, but you know, we have an Amazon Echo in here and people have Google Home. Is there any sort of development in those areas that are going to be helpful for people?
Yeah, definitely. We were actually one of the first to be on Amazon Echo. So you could actually talk to Echo and say, sign me up for urgent care. And it would talk back to you and actually sign you into our urgent care from your bed. And so, you know, that type of stuff was out there. We're continuing to develop different things for different technology as it comes available. And as long as, you know, all these different vendors, Amazon, Google, are open to us developing on their platforms, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, final question. What's the funnest part of your job?
Oh, man. I have a lot of fun and a lot of bad days too, but you know, I'm excited about, I've always been excited for technology. It changes daily. It changes every single day. Something new comes out, something new is being done with technology. You know, that is the rewarding part of my career is, you know, I get to see this change every single day and help lead that change for a health system that is significant in Acadiana. And so, you know, we have a huge demand for healthcare as well, and being able to use technology to actually make people better or help them become better is a huge thing for me and very rewarding for my career.
When working for a tech company, I completely understand that.
Yes.
Yeah, every day there's something new and exciting, and anytime I can put in some sort of new technology in this room, I get pumped about it. So
it's exciting though, to be able to say that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I really love what you do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, again, Mike, thank you for being here. Heather, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And Jan, as always, thank you for letting me ask some questions.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And you know, I was thinking while y'all were talking, we're coming full circle from the old days, you know, when doctors made house calls.
Yep.
They made house visits to go to the sick, and technology is letting us return to that, and
yep.
that is just invaluable.
It is. You know? It's amazing. We talk about that all the time, that it's going full circle.
Yeah.
It took 100 years to do it.
Yeah,
but
and it's needed.
It's definitely going full circle,
yeah.
And you know, I think people are figuring out that technology has made things cheaper, more effective, and faster, and mm-hmm. we can get your home quicker than you can get to a business.
Yeah. And keep you safe.
Right.
So, yeah. I want to thank you. Thank you both Mike Dozier and Heather Harris from Lafayette General Health System. This has been a great interview. I'm just fascinated with how quickly things are unfolding. And I look forward to maybe getting you guys back on at some point and talk about, you know, in the next couple of years, what's happened. So thank you for taking the time to be
happy
on Discover Lafayette.
Happy to come back. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Jason, thank you so much for taping this and Raider Solutions. And to our listeners, we appreciate your support. This interview and all of our interviews can be found on discoverlafayette.net. And you can find them anywhere you get your podcasts. So we ask you to please subscribe and share this with your friends so they can learn more about what's going on in our community. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.